You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 11 January. We are back and a happy new year to you all. I'm Simon Brown coming at you live and loud from a wet MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Nick Kuntz, we had a storming start to the JSC. I'm not sure what's behind it. We'll take it. We've got no complaints with it, but, well, a bit wild. And then we're chatting with Anchor CIO on their top local stock picks for 2021. Interesting mix there across the range. MoneyWeb Now brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, members that are abandoning pricier discovery plans. They've lost just over 90,000 members, 28% since 2013. I'm imagining people not always giving up, probably shopping down, but unemployment doesn't help, and of course immigration as well. Business Day, industrial users face oxygen supply crunch. Obviously a lot of oxygen going into the medical fraternity, and that's leaving shortages in steelmaking, metal refinery, fabrication, chemicals. The way to play this, unfortunately, is only Afrox, and they stood on the JSC, but they delist on the 19th, next Tuesday, so no real options for investors. Morning markets, US was green on Friday, S&P up 0.6, NASDAQ up 1. Asia, Sydney's down 0.9% today. Tokyo is closed for Old Age Day. Commodities red with gold at 18.32, Rand 15.37. And top 40 opening call looking about 25 points down. What's that? About 0.05%.
Business, finance, and investment news. MoneyWeb Now with Simon Brown on the Money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nick Kuntz. He, of course, a portfolio manager at Sunlum Private Wealth. Nick, morning. We've seen a really, really strong start to the year on the JSE in the US. We'll take it with both hands. We've got no problems with that. I mean, you're reading on it. Is it really just a case of most people probably weren't at their desks last week and therefore markets could pretty much run?
Morning, Simon. Yeah, I think there's a little bit of that. It typically, you know, January is a good month. We normally get the inflows. People rejig portfolios, and as normally happens, is equities certainly normally get a bit of a kicker in Jan. Mm-hmm. But I think what's surprising for me was it was almost like a bit of an everything rally.
Yeah.
You know, look no further than Bitcoin last week. Obviously, it's a different story this morning. But you know, the likes of your real risk on assets, Tesla, you know, your Robin Hooders all diving in last week. And the volume was intriguing too. We started Monday on the JSE at, I think about 10 billion value trade. About time we got to Friday, we're up at 18s and 19s. And I think this morning, most people, as you said, back at our desks, maybe get into the 20s. So I think we'll get more of an indication this week of where the real money's going. Thin markets last week, but as you said, we'll take it. You know, solid start to 2021.
Yeah, we'll take it. I mean, even gold was one of those risk ons up at 1960, although well off this morning, kind of doing a bit of a Bitcoin on us. The one that really struck me was oil. And I know OPEC Plus are talking nice and the like, but I mean, oil, Brent most notably, but West Texas as well, they're back at January levels from where they were just a year ago. How much is Sasol still an oil play? Because, of course, Sasol's been doing fairly well as well.
I think most people look at Sasol as a pure oil play. Of course, those who know a little bit more about Sasol realize it's not just pure oil. A lot of it is now chemicals. A lot of it's a Rand dollar play, mm-hmm. too. I think you'll be very careful with oil. The most crowded trade and the most hated trade in the world right now is probably the short US dollar. I mean, I'm a fan of it too, but nothing goes up or down in a straight line. I think that trade is very crowded. And if we're seeing, like we're seeing this morning, a little bit of dollar strength coming through, a little bit long overdue, I think oil's going to be a bit on the back foot. And as you said, it is quite, you know, playing that monopoly game with the likes of Saudi Arabia cutting 1 million barrels per day. It is a little bit of a game changer, but with oil where it is now, I think it's run a little bit ahead of itself. And I'd be careful being long Sasol after it's had a nice bounce up here.
Fair enough. Another one, we chatted around it a couple of times last year. I know you were liking it, Aspen. They seem stuck in the 120s, and that was a head scratcher for me. They managed to break up, although Friday looked a little weak. It traded well off the highs. I mean, this must surely, you know, that they're a solid company. They've got the deal with Johnson & Johnson, and that might not be profitable for them, but it's utilization. Is this a stock to look at on weakness?
I think so. I think traditionally, I mean, take the fact, I mean, take the name away. Mm-hmm. I mean, just this sort of space in pharmaceuticals and et cetera, they're normally quite offensive plays. I thought it actually traded reasonably okay. I mean, I'm on your camp though. I thought we'd get more of a kicker. I think Johnson & Johnson, although it's not straight to the bottom line, I think perception is also worth a lot there too. I think it's looking cheap. You know, we used to playing Aspen on 30-something, 40-something PEs back in the day. Obviously, it's a very different share. It's not the same company it was 4 or 5 years ago. Although saying that, even down here, I mean, single-digit PEs on the forward basis for something like this looks too cheap to me. So, I'm on your camp. I quite like it. I think it's got further upside.
And a much better stock. When we were buying it on those 40 PEs, laden with debt, they've got rid of a number of assets, including, you know, some that they said were going to be their core, be that as it may. That balance sheet is looking quite robust. And I heard Stephen Sard make the point. He said, you know what? They've never gone to market to raise money. Everything they've funded internally. And kudos to him.
Kudos to him. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, we, us traders and brokers and asset managers are quite a fickle bunch. I mean, we were screaming from the rooftops, a year ago that you've got too much debt. It's, your covenants are going to be breached, et cetera. You've got to lay it off. And so Stephen Sard and his team did what the market was asking. Look, they did sell, I think, the crown jewels with the milk formula business, but so be it. I got the feeling that maybe there's a bit of a gun to their head from the bankers, but they did what they needed to do. They've got some big chunk of stuff coming. I think 15 billion rand or something, or dollar, whatever the number is, coming into the bottom line, closing that debt down. So, I mean, what does the market want? I mean, they're doing exactly what they said they'd do, and I think it is definitely worth a look.
We'll leave that there. Nick Kuntz, Portfolio Manager, Sanlam Private Wealth. Really appreciate your early Monday morning.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place?
Offshore.
While earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP.
Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I'll be back again, and I'm chatting with Mike Resty. He's CIO at Anchor Capital. They put out, it came out in December, and of course we missed it because of the break. They're sort of their picks for the year, stocks they're looking at. Mike, morning, appreciate your early Monday. A couple of them, I want to touch on some of them. MTN, I mean, you make the point that now that we've got Nigeria and Ghana, the MTN operations essentially listed, we can see the values, and it's telling us MTN is cheap. I was just chatting with Nick. If we've got oil working, that helps Nigeria. Certainly looking like a strong potential play for 2021.
Good morning, Simon. Good morning to your listeners. It was, I suppose, in a way, a bit of a controversial pick. I think it's certainly a share that, not everybody would want in their portfolio. But, you know, we've made a number of selections there that if things align, and certainly MTN is one of them, you know, there is tremendous value. It's obviously been through a number of years of, mixed news. Mm-hmm. And, just felt that was more than possible. And as I pointed out in, the piece, as stars align for it, particularly with the potential disposal of a number of their non-core operations, resumption of dividends, it's a share that we could easily see back at around 80, 90 rand. There are a number of them in there that, we felt that the COVID pandemic you know, probably was a bit of an unkind cut, if you could call it that, and delayed things that we would have expected to have happened in 2020. And we think that, you know, as things normalize, a lot of what would have happened last year is probably going to unfold this year. So certainly at once.
Yeah, and I take your point on that. I mean, you know, we understand, you know, COVID put spanners in the wheels all over the place. It has also created an opportunity for us. I mean, MTN is a stock that, you know, way back once upon a time was, you know, I think, what, 260-odd rand. They've had regulatory issues in Nigeria. Is your sense that they probably, and I won't say, you know, I'm not going to, you know, totally in sync, but they're more comfortable with their Nigerian regulatory environment?
Would you believe that it actually averaged 250, if I remember correctly, around around 2015. So, you know, subsequent to us publishing that piece, we had sort of yet another sort of left field event in Nigeria with the regulators there insisting that you know, all operators disconnect subscribers who hadn't. You didn't have national identity documents by the end of the year. So, you know, I think it's constant reminders that it's a difficult environment within which they operate. But you're absolutely right. I think that they've become much better at dealing with these issues that come up. I think certainly when I look back to how MTN was, let's say 5 or 6 years ago, it was a very, very sort of South African-centric management team. And I think they've done a lot to address that. And, you know, I think they're much better now at heading off these sorts of issues. Yeah. So, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, the issues haven't left, but they're better at them. Robex, I mean, Robex is almost, you know, and perhaps Afrimat, although you're preferencing Robex, you know, obviously government looking at what you say, 276 infrastructure projects, 2.3 trillion rand. The people I've spoken to in the construction industry saying they are seeing tenders come to market. There is activity starting to happen there, and Robex is one of them that is incredibly well positioned and a well run little construction business when truthfully there's not much construction left in South Africa after a decade of no activity.
Absolutely right. I mean, I think one of the things that you've got to appreciate is that, you know, there are virtually no operators left. I think it's pretty much Raubex and Wilson Bailey are really the only ones out there who have the balance sheet to take on the big projects. And, you know, while this infrastructure spend has been certainly a lot slower than many of us would have liked to come through, I think what you've got to appreciate is that as that capacity, you know, very little of it out there is filled up, the pricing power that you start to see, I think, will certainly come through, and you'll start to see that reflected in margins. Probably not so much in this next set of results, but certainly the gearing into next year and beyond, I think, will be considerable. I think what you've got to appreciate is just how low the base is for a lot of these operators. So, you know, absolutely. I think you're going to start to see that in the year ahead.
Yeah, it's a fair point. They are coming off massively depressed, long-term depressed bases. Mr. Price, you make the excellent point that, you know, they came into this COVID pandemic, the lockdowns, with 4.2 billion in cash. They exit the year at 6.2 billion. You know, they are, I often think them and Clicks are probably two of the best management teams in South Africa. They've managed their balance sheet. They acquired a Power Fashion during the course of the year, well positioned. Mr. Price is probably on many people's lists and certainly on yours as a stock for 2021. We're going to be shopping, and, you know, and if we're under pressure, maybe a bit of shopping down as well, which will again help them and their category.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what we tried to pick, you know, in the case of Mr. Price, in a sector where, you know, I think many investors would be assuming that, you know, there's a lot of recovery potential, is to go quality. You know, we very much like the fact that they step back from the determination of many South African companies to go offshore. They had a crack at it. Mm-hmm. They realized very quickly it didn't work. And they had the conviction to say, that's it, we're not going to do that. So they want a very strong balance sheet. You know, I think it has had a bit of a run, and, you know, we were hoping that maybe in the early part of 2021, we see the lockdown intensify again. It might give shareholders a better entry point. But, you know, even at these levels, I think we'd be very comfortable to to have that in our portfolio as a, you know, very high quality retailer leveraged to the recovery.
You make a great point there around quality. The one thing, you know, our market, the overall, the JC or share was up a couple of percentage points for the year. But if we delve into it, there were a number of stocks that were down for the year. The green was mostly driven by the commodities, the miners, and a few others. What we have here, sitting in January 2021, sort of a year into the pandemic, is we have great quality companies. Rabex, we've got Mr. Price. There's others on your list as well, which you're actually able to get at good prices. I mean, this really has created an opportunity. We don't need to sort of go and find those second and third tier stocks. We can buy the top tier at top price, at good prices.
Yes, absolutely. You know, what you've seen, and that's the point that I certainly made in the article, is that I think you've seen particularly of South Africa in shares, so the liquid oil and gas companies. And this has pushed, you know, really high quality companies, valuations that, you know, remain attractive. And, you know, as I pointed out, I don't think it's going to take a hell of a lot to see companies like, you know, Mr. Price, as you've given a good example there, perform well from here. And it's just a symptom of the type of sentiment we've experienced. You know, we went into the pandemic with many South African companies already at quite depressed valuation. If you think back to, you know, where we were when lockdowns began, you know, we were looking at, you know, South Africa being downgraded.
Right, we have lost Mark. That line was struggling as it was, and he has totally disappeared. That's fine. We'll leave that there. We were running to shorten the interview anyway. There are a couple of other interesting stocks. I mean, obviously, Sibanye-Stillwater, not one they would typically look for, but, you know, cyclical and at the right point in that cyclical nature. Grindrod, another. I got to say, I think that Grindrod is one of those stocks that actually potentially is a takeover target. I think we might see some action there. Alviva, which we've chatted before with Derek Jensen von Rensburg around Alviva, and a stock that he certainly is a huge fan for. Transaction Capital, Kira Holdings also there, and then Telkom. Telkom was perhaps another one that a bit of a surprise for people, and the final was Bidcorp. But that was Mark Gresty. He is CIO at Anchor Capital, and we appreciate his early morning, even as we had some troubles with that line this morning.
Business, finance, and investment news. MoneyWeb Now.
With Simon Brown.
On the Money. Also available on podcast.
That's it for today. Remember, we're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app at 6:30 a.m. Podcast available wherever you get podcasts from, or the website and the app for MoneyWeb available from 7 a.m. This show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Medical 29. It's a multi-tenanted Class A medical office building located in Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA is an authorized financial services provider, license number 50483. Massive thanks to my team, Ed and Kudora, to you for listening in the early morning, and my guests for the early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.